enemy is coming.
Come on.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We're Just Another Movie Night, and I'm Scott.
I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Joe.
Yeah.
What are we doing today?
Before and after reviews.
Before and after reviews. This is where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after. We're in the before section, Joe. Did you know that? We didn't see a movie yet.
Yeah, we didn't see it yet. We just ate dinner and drank a beer, and we're ready to go howl at the moon.
You know, this is a movie we're talking about today, we're about to see anyways, is a movie by Lee Whannell, who last directed The Invisible Man, and before that, Upgrade. He is the writer and creator of... What?
I was going to say, not Tom Hardy. That Upgrade movie.
Oh, Upgrade. Oh, yeah, yeah. Was it Logan Marshall Green, I believe it was?
Yes, yeah. Good.
He is the creator of Saw. Yeah, he was actually the actor in it. I was shocked when I found out that he wasn't American.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard his voice.
Yep.
Saw franchise, the Conjuring universe?
Mm.
He's an actor in that as well. Mm-hmm. He directed one of those. A pretty amazing track record. This guy is somebody that I always look forward to seeing his movies. And even if they're hit or miss, I think that directing wise, he's been nailing it.
Yeah.
I actually think Invisible Man is like great. Some people might not agree with me, but I think it is.
I think it's great too. I loved it. I had a good time with that.
I found it really funny though, that he's following that up with another Universal Monster movie reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's following the Invisible Man with Wolfman.
Maybe we got a nice pattern here.
Yeah, it would be interesting if the next one is The Bride or...
Creature. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, it could be anything. and I find that really interesting and unique. And I find it very... It kind of gives me like... I don't know. I have hope that, you know... Guys like this that are really creative, they keep making these interesting things. And I feel like he's one of those people that when I go see the movie, I feel like when, you know, his movies are going to be some kind of unique, interesting thought,
mm-hmm.
you know, like more of like maybe a metaphorical kind of a horror film, or psychological, which I really enjoy. So I feel like there's always going to be something that's just a little more interesting or artistic. And I look forward to that kind of horror movie more. But what's interesting is when we saw the trailers, you were not too thrilled.
No.
So you want to talk about it?
Well, okay, here's the thing. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh God, what's the number one pet peeve that I have in horror movies?
Children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a huge make or break, without a doubt.
Kids in horror movies, they just annoy the crap out of me. It's always over-the-top cuteness, which makes you want to puke. Or just really solidly bad acting. You know, just they just can't handle it. They can't deliver a line. And also another thing, Julia Gardner. I can't see her as anyone else except Ruthie from Ozark.
I can see that.
I can't. I'm stuck in it. We tried to watch that documentary series or whatever it was with her as the...
She was playing a criminal.
What's her name? That criminal girl. You know, I just can't see her as anything except Ruthie. I'm trying.
Yeah.
But it's hard. I mean, she even looks like Ruthie in this. She has the same, like, wardrobe and the same hair. I just can't get past it. I have to see her in a role where she doesn't have a bad... Oh, it's Anna Delvey.
Okay.
Anna Delvey. That's what I'm thinking of. She did the accent terribly. I thought when I watched that, I only got through a little bit of it because I couldn't take it anymore. But I don't think she's And I really need to see more from her when she's not playing Ruthie.
Well, the funny thing about that was, I think I only watched maybe one episode, and I said I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
The acting.
Mm-hmm.
It was like taking over the show. I couldn't pay attention to anything but that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember thinking it was her. I think I actually said to you, wait, who is this? Who is the actress?
Yeah.
Kind of shocked me because I thought she kind of melted into it. But it, at the same time, it was very over the top. And I didn't know it was her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not slighting her, but it is hard when she had such a powerful role on Ozark that we kind of, it's like Breaking Bad. It's hard to see Bryan Cranston and you can't help but think Walter White.
I don't think it's as bad for Bryan Cranston as it is for, Jesse Pinkman. What's his name again?
Okay.
Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul.
I feel like when I see Aaron Paul, I'm like, I'm only seeing Jesse Pinkman. And that's really tragic because I like him. I think he's good. But it's hard to differentiate, like, you know, when someone has a role. Yeah. Someone has a role that powerful, it's like they are always stuck in that role.
Yeah, it seems to be a thing. I think that with me, I can see your concerns are very valid. Is what I think. And when I say the trailer, I'm harping on it now. And I do think that the child might be a problem. Mm-hmm. And I do think if it hinges on her performance, most of all, it might be also a problem. If she's not good, but I think that she is a good enough actress. I don't know if I've seen her in enough to even say that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give her a shot because of how wonderful she was on Ozark. I mean, she just blew it out of the water. I'm not really too concerned about her because I think she's playing just a side role as the wife or whatever, but
it's a very prominent role.
I mean, she's still, yeah, it's a prominent role, but I just feel like, okay, we need to focus on the main actor, right? So
I guess, I think what's interesting about this movie is like how little we know, but I've gathered what I think the plot is about. And I think it's about a family moving somewhere and they get, this all happens in the middle of nowhere, and mm-hmm. they're like trapped on a farmhouse during all of this. So I think that's really important for the performances of the other two leads.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, okay, don't put too much stock into her because she's just, you know, there. She's just playing the wife. But then after I was thinking about it a little bit, and you made a good point, that this movie really does hinge on the three main people because that's all we've got.
I wonder if there's other people. I don't really know, but the trailer does a good job of hiding it.
I don't know. But, you know, one thing that I really felt in the trailer that the child didn't initially show any kind of fear. Daddy, what's wrong with Daddy? No, my ass would be screaming bloody murder if I saw my father looking all ratchet like that. Okay, I would just you have to really. I know that it's a kid, but come on, you got to find a kid that can act in a situation like that. And my first thing when I saw this trailer and I saw the kid, I'm like, this kid's gonna ruin it for me. I know it. I just know it.
I was going to say that there's another big thing here that could be a problem, and that is the wolf itself.
The CG, right?
No, we don't have Rick. I think they're going very practical. I don't think they're doing... I think that he said that he was going full practical and trying to do no digital shots and stuff.
Who did he hire for the makeup?
I'm not sure, but okay. I have seen something way before this. I haven't researched. I haven't seen any screenshots from the movie except for the trailer shows. But there was a thing, I think at one of these Comic-Con or whatever, where there was a set up thing that you could take a photo with that showed maybe what the wolf was. And it was not something that I was happy about.
Well, that's just great.
But if the movie shows it in a way where it makes sense, don't look it up.
I'm not looking anything up.
Don't you dare.
But I'm not. well, I don't want to ruin it for myself.
You slowly grabbed your phone up to your face while I was talking.
Oh, so
Well, anyways, it could be the way they shot it. That could be the uniqueness of the movie doing something different. Mm-hmm. And I am all here for a new version. If anything, that's what The Invisible Man was. A completely new take
mm-hmm.
on, you know, an old property. And I've really appreciated that about that. And I'm wondering here, and I guess my question to you is, will this be a psychological movie? Will it be something else than we just think that straightforward narrative of a wolfman?
I do want to believe that it'll be psychological to an extent.
I feel like there's going to be something else, which I'm kind of hoping for.
You know, like even in the, I know people don't like it, so bringing it up is probably dangerous, but the 2010 Benicio del Toro remake,
Well, the headstand Winston and they still use CG.
Well, that was Rick Baker, wasn't it?
Oh, Rick Baker.
Wasn't it?
Was it Stan Bay Winston at the time?
I thought Rick Baker had everything to do with that.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't think it was the worst thing I've ever seen either.
It was so heavily CG.
But I like the atmosphere in it. And what I want here is an eerie atmosphere. So I'm hoping that at least we have that creep factor 11, you know?
Yeah. What I'm hoping for, and I feel like we're bad because we're just kind of like dumping on our negative thoughts here of what could happen.
Yeah.
The positive. And I think that this is the overall reason I'm really excited is that this director has a unique eye with some of the films that he's been filming.
True.
And so I'm really looking forward to how he shoots this movie. I listened to recently to another podcast, Mike Flanagan, a director that I admire. He has been doing a podcast where he interviews directors and he watches a movie with them. So he had Lee Whannell on and they talked about The Invisible Man and he watched it. And he was kind of talking about how he wants to shoot movies and how he sees things and what he's trying to do and how his DP and, you know, cinematographer and everybody is collaborating. And it sounded like he was coming up with some really inventive things here. And he was saying that I think we did some stuff that really hasn't been seen. So I'm really looking forward to how people react to that. Mm-hmm. So it got me very hyped because this sounded like somebody who was joyous about filming. And that is something that you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to hear that stuffiness. You don't want to hear that, you know, problematic atmosphere. You want to hear somebody who's like really, really into what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it sounded like that with him. And that got me really excited for the movie. I guess that the last thing to actually bring up here is that it's being dumped in January.
Yeah.
That's a worrisome thing.
Yeah. And what is this rated? Is it R?
I didn't even look it up because I just assumed that it was R.
I mean, if there's no gore, I'm going to be pretty pissed. I'm not going to lie. There needs to be gore. I mean, I get it. Lon Chaney Jr., that one from 1931.
Mm-hmm. Almost all the Wolfman.
There wasn't any, because back then they just didn't do that. But I feel like now we need it. We need it.
Yeah, you want it like a hard R horror movie all the time. Yeah,
I mean, not all the time.
There are ways around it, but yeah. Yeah.
It's rated R.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, good. Yeah.
Good. I mean, I want there to be gore. There has to be slash and, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. Some slash and flash.
Do you have any other thoughts before we go see this movie?
I don't want to be an asshole and speculate on things, so I'll just go see it. But I'm going to give it a chance. I'll give the kid a chance, you know.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to. Yeah. What if in the midway point of this movie, he just starts playing basketball and puts on a jacket?
Oh, and does the Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
And you sure don't look like your grandma.
All right, let's go check this movie out.
Hello, can anyone hear me? Hello? We were in an accident.
Daddy, are we gonna die?
No, it's my job to protect you.
And we were attacked. I think my husband was infected. Mike. Mike. Mike.
Daddy. Daddy. What's wrong with Daddy?
He got sick.
What is happening to me?
Can you understand me? You're scaring me.
And we're back. We just saw the movie. And let me say, I think you are right on a lot of your fears, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, elaborate. Tell me.
Well, I was just going to say that I do agree that the problem with this movie is the two things that you thought were going to be the problem. One lesser than the other.
Okay.
The lesser would be the daughter.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Julia Garner.
Yeah, very miscast here.
Very miscast, yes. Yes.
She did not work at all, and I do not know why he went along with it as a director, because it's very obvious that the three main characters in this movie, they do not feel related.
Not at all.
And they don't feel that they have an ounce of...
Chemistry.
I will say that the actor playing the father and the actress playing the daughter do have... They set that up pretty well.
They have... Yes, they do have a little bit of a bond there. They make it known that he's the closer parent to her. So they had to like go out on a limb like that. But I feel that the dynamic between all three of them was completely off. Completely.
Especially when it comes to her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is something that you notice as well, but something I could not unsee is her constant blinking.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an obvious quirk or tick, but it was like in moments where it should not be happening.
I think she was told in those moments to act with her face, but she wasn't acting with her face. She was just pretty much acting with her eyelashes, because that's all you see is just blinking, blinking, blinking.
Yeah, it's like the daughter understood the assignment in the one sequence at the end there. Mm-hmm. And then she did not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. I can't believe they went with this. I can't believe these takes were okay. Which is a shame, because I feel like if this was a different actress or somebody who was really going for it, a lot of this would have worked much better.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise... I do think this is a creative take on the whole thing.
I do too. I was watching the movements and how everything moved and stuff. I thought it was pretty fluid. It was pretty fluid. It was a good job. It was a much different, like, don't go in thinking that you're going to get Lon Chaney Jr. Like, that was 1941, I guess. 1941. And
or you're not going to get American Werewolf in London.
You're not going to get American Werewolf in London. It's different.
Yeah, this is a whole nother take on it. And it lets you know in the first second,
mm-hmm,
with a title scroll.
Do you feel, though, that, like, I'm sorry, but getting back to the acting, do you feel it was forced? Like they were trying too hard almost?
Yeah, they're okay.
To be like the family dynamic?
Yeah. The movie is definitely about, I was right in the idea that he was going to be using everything in some kind of metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely there, but the movie doesn't seem to capitalize on it enough. So I feel like that dynamic that you're asking about, that family whole idea, is the center point of the movie's, like, conversation, mm-hmm, I would say. And I don't know if, I don't think any of it came across properly. So when you say, do I think that they were forcing it? I think that's only because the actors themselves didn't have that connection,
mm-hmm,
and they fell for it. But I will say, as a director, or the people who worked on the film, they went sometimes a little too hard on the melodrama, especially in the score. Now, I don't know how much of that is our movie theater and how much of it is the film itself, because I definitely know that the speakers in the front of the theater were a little duller. But there is some killer surround sound stuff going on in this movie. Some really smart and clever use of sound effects that I found one of the highlights of the film. But sometimes when they were going for that family stuff, they would hit you with this melodrama music. And I thought, you're hammering it in too much. And since the actors weren't portraying that enough, and the music was going hard, I was like, you're missing the mark. And so some of that did feel forced because of all that. All of those different things converging.
Yeah. I feel, though, it's like, you're going to make a Wolfman movie. I want to do it stylized, but like, also kind of paying homage, I guess, to the ones that came before.
I guess.
Just a smidge.
Because then that comes into the question of the constant idea of reboots and people complaining about them. And then there's movies like this where it's like, no, I'm going to take that core thing and we're going to move on. And we're going to do something completely new and different. And I kind of respect
it. I appreciate that. I do. And that's, I do appreciate that about this film. It is different. It is definitely different.
And it's not the Wolfman.
No,
it's not. As we noticed.
It is just Wolfman.
Yeah.
So I kind of got a grasp on that and like how it is not at all, you know, our classic Universal Monsters type deal here. I do appreciate the direction that he went, but I also feel like it was missing something. I feel there was just a couple of elements missing in this.
Yeah.
Not just the family dynamic, and that was weak as hell. I mean, just weak. I didn't feel at all like these two people were married. It was weird.
This movie feels like it's missing something.
Yeah, it's missing
something. Without a doubt, it feels almost undercooked in plot. And that's a shame, too, because I don't think this is a bad film. I actually kind of enjoyed my viewing experience watching this movie. And there are things about it, like the twist is very obvious.
Yes.
If you can call it a twist, it's just like a reveal. It's very obvious, but the main actor, at first I was very like, why did they choose him? But as the wolf stuff starts going on, he's very good in it.
Yeah, you get it.
He is doing some really good body, like miming. And the moment the things start happening and you start realizing it, he's doing some animal movements before it's even like getting clear that that's what's happening to him.
Yep.
He's doing some stuff like that. And I was like, the actor is doing a damn good job.
He is doing a really good job. I'm not sure what he's done before this. I don't recognize him.
Yeah, I'm sure the moment we look him up, we'll be like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But right off the top of my head, I don't recognize him. And I think that they picked a good actor, because when I first saw him the first 5 minutes on the screen, I was like, this guy doesn't seem to fit. I don't know. He doesn't seem to fit. Like, just, I'm sorry not to bring it up again, but Benicio del Toro looks like the Wolfman without even being in makeup. Okay.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? Like he looks like the Wolfman, but this guy had a whole different feel. He was skinny. He was just
he's a very emotional looking actor.
Yeah.
He seems very sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that maybe that's what they were kind of going for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He, in this movie, it's questionable of like what he's going through emotionally. And I do think that's another one of those problems in the movie, that they want you to think things are going here emotionally. And then there's just like a scene where it's like, eh,
yeah.
We're kind of depressed. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, oh, let's whip you out of that real quick.
Yeah. And it's like moving on and
moving on.
it seems strange, but I can see that they got him like he's stressed. He's got problems. He's got baggage. And the actor, the more you start realizing it, you start going, okay, I can see why they picked him.
I totally get why they picked him. 100%. Well, what did you think of the special effects team?
I enjoyed this. I think, of course, we all kind of want to see more of a wolf transformation. We're so used to now seeing after like the American Werewolf in London, the Howling, all these movies, what was it? A Bad Moon, the movie that doesn't get enough talk about, Monster Squad,
Teen Wolf.
I know, like these transformations, we're so used to it now and seeing people come up with new ideas of transformations that I thought this one was very refreshingly different. And I really enjoyed the brutality of it. And I kept thinking about The Fly a lot during this film.
Yes.
I kept thinking that this is something that I feel like Cronenberg would be appreciating. But even saying that, though, I'm like, damn, could I wish they would have gone further with this. Because The Fly would have been like the perfect template for this kind of film. And especially what he's going for. And so I don't think he hits that enough, but I think it's clearly there.
I mean, he did some crazy body shit that there's I was some body like, horror oh, there. Damn.
Yeah. There's some very body horror and Cabin Fever feeling yeah, stuff going on in this film.
Definitely, I was thinking like an Eli Roth type deal going on. I was like, ew.
And I will say that Lee Whannell, very, very fun, references two of his own movies with sequences. And I was laughing. I was like, okay, I see what you're going for there. I see what you're setting up and you're going for. And it made me laugh when it happened. I was like, holy crap. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody will catch those, but they're in there.
I think the special effects, they did a good job.
I enjoyed that.
I
will say that I find it hard if they did a lot of CG, I don't see it.
I couldn't really. I mean, I guess, you know, everyone sees in the trailer that the truck, you know, goes off the road. Maybe that was a little CG'd. They had to, obviously, they can't kill actors, but but like ultimately it was pretty practical.
Yeah.
It was practical.
I think also, if I'm not mistaken, they even did, there is some kind of wolf vision type stuff going on a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think they might have actually done that in camera, which is also kind of impressive. I think the first time they did it, it was pretty damn cool. And then when they did it again at the end, it was losing it a little bit. And then it was like, oh, it looks a little fake now.
Yeah. But there were scenes in this where he was adapting to his newfound senses, I guess. And they showed like, a vision, this is not a spoiler, but they show like a vision of the trees moving and he's kind of like getting the sense that the trees are moving. And I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. Yeah. It didn't look goofy at all. It looked pretty neat.
What I liked was there's a sequence where it first starts really kicking in and he is hearing noises. And then after realizing what the noises are, so simple, he starts like collapsing a little bit, but the camera is following his collapsing. And so the director and the actor and the camera guy, you know, the camera people, they had to follow him perfectly with tilting the camera to make us feel what he's going through. And I thought it was very cool. Like I thought, damn, good job on making us understand this loopiness.
I thought that the directing and the film crew and all that was really good. The special effects, really, really good. They really did a good job with all that. The main actor, he did good. He did great.
Especially when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I think the only two problems were the ones that I had going in.
Yeah, and I would say that maybe the script is a little... it's a debate on what he's trying to talk about here with his story. And it feels like on one hand, it's very obvious. And then on the other hand, when it comes down to the ending, I'm not particularly sure what the main conversation is. And I'm a little confused on that sense. And so because of that, you know, I feel like the movie's kind of suffering from these two main problems. And yet I'm still really coming out of here with more enjoyment than I should. And so if I had to score this movie, if I'm forced into it, I'm definitely giving it a 6.
Okay, yeah, I was going to go with six also.
Because I don't think it's like in that that middle ground where we're going to forget about it. I'm going to be like, that was pretty neat.
No, I'm not going to forget about this movie. I thought it was pretty decent. I can't push it over to a seven
because
a seven it would be too good. I think that for what he was trying to accomplish, I think he did it. I think the main actor was great. I think special effects are great. Two problems you already know about. And but otherwise, I had an enjoyable experience watching this. And, you know, if I go into a movie like this thinking something and coming out different, like, you know, feeling differently, then I'm like, okay, that's a win. But ultimately, I ended up feeling the same as when I went in. You know, like, okay, this is going to be a basic movie. But it's not a five. It's not just a mediocre, you know, movie. It's a six. It's good. It's decent.
Yeah.
And I would say go watch it.
Support
Lee Whannell. He's great.
Without a doubt. Are we able to do spoiler talk or no?
No, let's not do it on this.
Okay.
I know you want to, but
I only want to because of the fact that I'm trying desperately to understand what some of the conversation of the movie is, which I know he's definitely going for. And I know he did that in Invisible Man, you know, kind of dissecting this idea of what's that called? Gaslighting.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that movie because I thought that gaslighting idea was perfectly fluid. Like, I get it. I get what he's going for, and I get the ending, and I love that power stuff. And this, I'm like, no, I don't think I understand your message. So that's the only reason I would want to talk about it. But, all right, so sixes all around.
Sixes. I mean, you want to do spoilers? Okay, ready. 3, 2, 1, click off right now. We're doing spoilers. Bada bing, spoilers.
All right, thank you. Well, thanks for indulging me. I mean, this is the reason why we started doing the podcast in the first place, so we can have these conversations and record it.
I look at your sweet face, and I'm like, oh, he wants to spoil. Let's talk.
It's not about that. It's about, like, if this movie is definitely about the emotional baggage of what parents put on their kids.
Yeah.
And this very cleverly... He has a great line of dialogue, and I thought it was really well done in the movie, but unfortunately, sometimes the characters were talking to the kids too adult.
I shouldn't say kids. I completely agree with you. It's too much truthiness.
When the kid asks her mother, hey, why is he sick? Why is this all happening to him? And then, which was like, first off, this kid would never ask that question. This kid should be terrified out of their fucking mind.
Yeah.
Excuse my language. But the mother actually just answers her with the full truth. Like, well, here's the deal. Your
grandfather.
He went into the woods and we all just thought he died.
Yeah, your grandfather disappeared into the woods and passed along a sickness to your dad.
Yeah, and like, how she gathered all that in that second, too. I was just like, ah.
Like, I would think the first thing that would come to her mind would be like, oh, you know, rabies when animals, you know, are rabid or whatever. That's more of what a kid would understand. Not like, oh, your grandfather passed along a freaking disease to your father and it took only, I don't know, 40 years to get it, but...
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I feel like they were treating this kid too adult and they shouldn't have.
I kind of respected it. The movie starts off with this idea like, oh, this guy's taking care of his kid. And but she's still not listening because, you know, he does do everything. He's holding a huge teddy bear. She's doing whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting up this idea that he wants to be the opposite of his father.
Right.
Because we see in the beginning of the movie that his father is kind of controlling because he is a single parent, which is also a theme.
Right.
He's a single parent and he feels like he has to get his son ready for the future. And so he is militarizing him. Like, he's just putting him through those paces. Like, he's making him a soldier,
mm-hmm.
not a person with emotion. And I think even the father knows that's true. And that, like, that great line of dialogue that I was bringing up was, he says to his daughter, you know, sometimes parents love their kids so much that they worry that they'll be scarred. But what they forget is that they end up giving them the scars.
Right, and I think that was a little bit too
it was a little mature too adult. Yeah.
To tell this little girl.
If anything, this kind of dialogue should have been between the husband and wife.
Which they didn't have anything
they
like
had
this.
No dialogue. And there was a sequence where she's listening to him telling her, like, I'm going to be there for you. I'm never going to leave. I'm going to take care of you. That's my job. All this stuff. And then he comes in the hallway and Coley doesn't say anything to her. No love, no affection, no.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we got to get everything boarded up.
Yeah.
And it was like, do something with this now.
Yeah. There's no affection between him and Julia Garner either. It was like.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't feel like that there was any kind of feelings towards anybody in this movie. Like, nobody had any feelings. Like, the little girl loved her dad and he loved her, but it was like, okay, then they just threw the mother in there, you know? And I know why they did it, because they didn't want it to be like the opener where it was just, you know, the dad and the kid together alone. So they had to throw the mother in, which was, she was completely ridiculous. She should not have been in that movie.
It felt like she was a stepmother.
That's the way I felt. Yeah.
And we've seen that plot way too many times. And that's why, mm-hmm, I was like, was this changed in post-production? Like, did they see another movie come out and they go, oh, this character is that character we wrote in our movie. Let's change it and say they're husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt to me, because the only times that you even get the idea that they might be husband and wife is a couple lines of dialogue that could have been ADR'd.
Yeah, you know what? It didn't seem real, or like, I just didn't feel it at all. I didn't feel the two. They had zero chemistry, these two people.
Oh, zero chemistry.
Zero.
And it's unfortunate. She doesn't really, it doesn't seem like she would be good in the roles of women like they are putting her in this movie. Like, I don't know what it is about it. It doesn't click. Something seems off about it.
I do agree with you to an extent, because I will say that in a lot of horror movies, the woman just leans up against the wall and screams and cries while the guy gets mauled by an animal or beat up by a bad guy.
Oh, and she grabs a hammer in one mean scene.
She actually tries to fight them off. She grabs a knife. She stabs it. She's trying. She does try.
I would agree, but I couldn't stop to think about The Shining. And because I feel like there's also a connection here, right? The Shining is about a terrible father.
Yes.
Right? I mean, and he is abusive, and he's an alcoholic, and he is deteriorating. He can't do anything. He feels like singled out and alone, and so he feels very, you know, he can't do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he blames everybody else around him. And I feel like there's a connection to that movie, to this movie, where they are telling us stuff like the little details, like he is a really good father, but when he snaps, he keeps like apologizing for it. And then like it's happened before. And then, but he's so good of a father that you can't take that seriously, that he's ever been bad to this kid.
Right. And well, it's kind of like his father in the beginning. He was yelling and screaming at him, like, you can't run off like that. You can't, you know, you scared me. It's kind of like the same thing that he was doing to his daughter, what his father did to him, you know? It's like he just...
Well, I'm almost should be safe.
Right. Just be safe, yeah.
My point, though, is that if they were trying to portray that maybe he was some kind of bad father, because they also started this idea, that, or laying down this idea that he was out of a job, he's not successful in his career, he's a stay-at-home dad. You know, they're doing a lot of stuff there where it makes you go, oh, this guy feels, you know, worthless.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of references that maybe he's depressed. So I was like, okay, where are they going to go with this? And if the plot goes where it is, where he's like, I'm never going to leave you, I'm going to take care of you and all this stuff, then he's like, no.
Right.
And then the mother's like, I guess if the plot is like, oh, the kid and me don't get along at all.
Yeah, she said that there's not that strong connection between her and the daughter like there is with the father and the daughter.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a terrible thing to admit, you know, like maybe you should try harder. I didn't feel the connection with her and the kid at all, with her and the husband at all. It was just weird.
Yeah, but beyond that, though, if the plot is trying to talk about like maybe the mother's got to step up and be a mother.
Right.
what is it talking about when it's like, get rid of the father? Because the overall the thing is that his father ruled his life, so he ran, he got out of there as soon as he could.
Right.
And then he goes back to that farm and starts becoming, the moment he gets there, he becomes his father.
Exactly.
And my question is, if that was the conversation that he is, you're always your father or you're always your parent, and then it takes getting away from that person, like, if he was a toxic husband, or if he was like, there was traits about it, her getting away from him or making the choice to kill him, because there's a scene where she's like saying, I love you and you're my best friend, doesn't ring true at
Nothing
all.
Nothing sinks
it,
in
it
there.
It doesn't work there.
It doesn't.
And so I was kept going, well, is the name, what's the message? Because the message definitely on one half of the movie is like, he is becoming his dad.
Right.
And that might be horrible. And that maybe he's super depressed and there's a problem there. But then that movie doesn't do anything with it, because the moment he becomes the wolf, or AKA his father, mm-hmm. because the infection from his father, mm-hmm. which is genes or the things that we pass on to our parent.
He also got scratched too.
Well,
so,
I mean, that's a metaphor. Yeah. I'm saying the metaphor is that he passed on what he is to his father,
right.
to his son. And he doesn't want to pass that on to his daughter.
Right.
But then what is the message after that? The message is like, she's got to kill him and move on.
She's got to kill him and move on and grow closer and bond with her daughter. It was like a lesson. Like, so he had to die in order for that to happen.
But
basically.
That's fucking weird.
It is weird. It doesn't make any sense. Like, he had to die and go through all this for her to grow a bond with yeah. her own daughter.
And it's like, I feel bad for him.
I do too. He didn't deserve any of this.
Like, they didn't set him up to be any character that you want. I mean, like, if it doesn't seem like they wanted to go too emotional.
Right.
And it seems like they didn't want to go too, like, deep into the conversation of him being a bad father or him being a bad husband or him having problems. I mean, where this, because it needs to go one way or the other.
I don't think that he was a bad husband. He tried so hard to make her happy and do things to reconnect the marriage.
That's my point.
And it was like, at the end, they reward him by killing him, you know?
They reward him by making him eat himself. And I mean, it's...
The stuff that he did in this movie was crazy. He actually gnawed his own leg off. It was crazy.
It's crazy. But I'm really struggling to get what the core concept is beyond the fact that it's just like, don't worry anymore about that. We're moving on and she's just going to kill him and that's it.
But I would think the meaning of it is just what I said. I mean, if that's the only way I can interpret this, is that he had to die in order for his wife to bond with their daughter. That's the way I'm looking at
what
it.
What a terrible
because
thing.
What else is there? You know, like, it was pointless. It was absolutely pointless. If anything, if roles were reversed and she became the wolf, then would we care? No. Because she's...
Yeah,
they have no chemistry.
She's already
whatsoever.
Emotionally detached.
Right.
So it's like, it would have been more of a concept. And I would say that maybe this movie would have been fixed if this actress was doing, you said, the Shelley Duvall thing.
Yeah.
Shelley Duvall tries, but she is terrified. And that's what should be happening in this movie.
Right.
That I don't really get the idea. I mean, I feel like they're scared.
Right.
But I don't feel like it's real enough.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, she kind of was accepting of it at some point.
At some point, it was just like,
looked him right in the eye and was like, all right, I see you.
Yeah.
Okay. This is
not
really...
You're my best friend.
You're my best friend. You're not really, really scaring me right now. I'm good. I'm fine. But, yeah, I feel like that's the whole thing. Like, he had to die in order for her to, you know, bond with her kid. But at the same time, I feel like this kid's going to need, like, 30 years of therapy.
Well, even the kids seem to be like, my favorite is at the end of the... there's some cheesy stuff. I'm not going to lie. And we didn't really bring it up in the review. But there are some cheesy setups and some cheesy stuff going on. Especially, there's, like, the head thing where she touches his head and whatever. It's kind of cute when it's first brought up, but I knew instantly, oh, this is the thing that's going to happen in the end when
he's
a wolf.
They do it too much, yeah.
And they did it too much. But what was really, really, really bad.
Like, they can read each other's minds, that kind of thing.
Which was a running joke, because she only says the same thing every time.
And right.
It's cute. I actually thought it was very cute.
It was cute the first time.
But at the end of this movie, when she goes to her mother, the little kid says to her mother, he wants to die.
He wants this to be over.
He wants this to be over.
Really? And I was like, that's a little too adult for you, kid. I mean, really? You're okay with all of this that's happening?
That made me laugh so hard.
She was a little too okay with all of this. So, yeah, I mean, the two weakest things were what I said. And I was like, you know, I'm usually never right. I'm usually, like, super wrong when it comes to these kind of things where I always anticipate stuff. But in this case, I was like, yeah, man, that's the weakest link of this movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess that is the reasoning behind him dying, is that so the two of them can live, just to show that he really loves them so much. But honestly, he couldn't control what happened to him. You know, he got scratched.
No.
So it's like he couldn't control it. It's like not like he chose to die in their place.
You know what's funny? One of the things that happened in this movie I could not stop laughing about was that I was seeing in my head, oh, this would be really great if they do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did one of the things that I actually wanted them to do in my head, which was write down mm-hmm. what's going on if you can't say things. And I was like, it would be really cool if you wrote, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's a matter? She goes, what's a matter with you? First off, he's falling apart. What's a matter with you?
His tooth fell out of his head.
It would have been this really powerful moment if he writes dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she just comes to the grips for the first time, like, I am going to lose him.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, oh, the acting is terrible on this character, and the character is very underwritten. So when she sees dying, she goes, no, you're not. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just ruined a great moment.
There was a really good moment there to be had, and she just blasted it. I'm like, oh, fuck this. Because
dying, a person like coming to the, I'm about to die. Like,
yeah.
I was like, that is really cool. And seeing like this just change, this person can't stop the change that's happening in their body and they're falling apart and having to come up with that to warn his wife, they're, you know, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I just so mad. And then they underscored it again by his daughter coming into the room, daddy, daddy. By the way, kids don't say daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy in every single sentence when they're talking to somebody.
Hmm.
She does it every single time. You go, what's happening to him?
Right.
Yeah. You don't go, mommy, what's happening to him? You don't say it every single time. I was like, okay, you guys should have told her to back off a little bit.
Yeah.
But fine. But what I hate is they underscored the dying moment by her coming in the room, saying what's going on, sitting there, and then he sits up, and they do the head thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they needed to go harder on this moment.
It was misplaced.
This realization. And then what he ends up doing after that sequence actually was brought it back to being good.
Mm-hmm.
When he starts eating his own arm.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's gross and awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that before.
And this is like one of the only times I've really seen her truly act. Because I think she was genuinely horrified, Julia Garner.
Like,
she
disgusted by it.
Yeah, disgusted by it.
Because he's really snacking on it. Like, it was like an Olive Garden, all-you-can-eat salad. It was insane.
She looked like she was about to throw up. So,
yeah
but, yeah, that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I wanted to talk about with spoilers, is the fact that I just don't know if I get the main concept. And so I'm a little disappointed in that sense. Like, what were you really trying to talk about here? Because if you wanted to do one thing, go further with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, it was to show his pure love for his family. And he wanted her to shoot him. And that was it, you know?
So it's like, if the metaphor of the movie, though, was like, my father scarred me. I don't want to scar my daughter. A daughter, I'm trying to protect her. There should have been more about shielding her.
Yeah.
There should have been a lot more about him pushing her to shield the daughter away from him as much as possible.
Yeah.
But they just kept sometimes forgetting. There was amazing shots where the mother would just walk away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She seemed like she was holding her hand. And then the next shot, she was just like walking away from her, not holding her hand anymore. And I was like, Yeah, Mom. Like maybe you want to hold her hand a little bit, pick her up.
I mean, here's the thing. If this is me in this situation and you were turning into a monster, I love you. I would hold your fucking hand and try and figure out what the hell's going on. She abandons him in the freaking empty room. You know, I can't tell you countless times. I mean, she's just the most uncaring person. I don't have any emotion or sympathy for her.
Yeah.
At all.
All right.
So, yeah.
We didn't get to the bottom of any of it.
I mean, you can only speculate because I'm just guessing that this is supposed to be about his love, you know, at the end of the day, because he didn't want to hurt them. He didn't want to kill them. He did still have part of himself in there at the
end. Which is funny because in the end, he's desperately trying to eat them.
Well, he looks at them and he realizes this is my family. And I think he has like a moment of like clarity. It's weird, but he stops and you can see him stop, you know, and look like he's having a moment of clarity. And it's like they have this like little telekinesis thing going on where she's like, oh, he wants it to be over. Okay. Well, that's...
Yeah, is that what you're saying? The suggestion is that she really did read his mind? I guess that's what they were going for. That's even worse. I didn't even consider that. I mean, yeah, you're right.
You know, and the...
All right, then.
That's what it is. I mean, that's all I got for you.
All right. I still didn't hate it.
I mean, I didn't hate it either.
It's got problems.
It's got problems, but, you know, it's ultimately a good... It's a decent movie.
It's decent.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I mean, go watch it. It's interesting, and support Lee Wano. That's what I got for you. That's it.
You don't need the money.
No, he doesn't, but we love him.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. If you're in the spoiler section, you know, hit us up on social media, on Instagram, Joe at The Crafty Misfit, and me on Just Another Movie Night. I'd love to hear your opinions about this movie since you made it through our spoiler bullcrapping. I would love to hear what your bullcrapping is. Hit us up on there. All right. Until next time. Bye.
We have to leave right now. Run.